Welcome to NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. I'm one of your hosts, Tim Mason. With me, I've got the beautiful Ricky D.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation?
And the glorious Patrick Murphy.
Trying to decide whether it's better to be beautiful or glorious.
Your choice, man.
That's a tough one. I'll take glorious. That's cool. I can be ugly and glorious.
The radiant. The majestic.
Ooh, the boss of Hollow Knight, Tim. the true boss of Hollow Knight. The radiance. Anyway, there's my Hollow Knight reference for the day.
I had to get it out of the way. Glad, thank you for doing that earlier rather than later in the show, because we've got a lot to talk about, you guys. It's been a little while since we recorded an episode, but we are back with one of the most fun prompts I think we've ever come up with on the show. So special thanks to Rick for coming up with what is going to be just the most bonkers free ideas for you Nintendo sort of discussion. We're going to do a draft pick for a Nintendo basketball game. And this is a prompt that Rick came up with. We're not going to start this just yet because I want to see how you're doing. But Rick, talk us through this. Where did this come from? And we're going to do a series of these. This is just the first sport we're doing.
I don't know. My crazy brain. And it's been a while since we recorded, and one of the reasons is because it's been a slow month or year so far for Nintendo, and a lot of the cool talk spots and segments we've already done in the past. Like, we could have done the anniversary special for Resident Evil 4, but we did it for the 10-year anniversary as opposed to the 15-year anniversary, so you could just go look at the archive and listen to our review of Resident Evil 4. We could do the ranking of all the Nintendo consoles, except we've done it. We could do a ranking of the Zelda games or the Mario games, and we've done it. And so we're trying to come up with kind of like fun, clever talk spots to keep the podcast going, because it is kind of a slow month for Nintendo. And I talked about this on the last podcast, where the frustrating thing for me in the sense where how Nintendo rolls out their games is that I feel like there isn't any big titles released at the start of the year. And some people would argue that that is a good thing, and I would say, no, it's not. Because, yeah, Patrick, you can say you're busy, okay, but you could be busy at any point of the year. The bottom line is, there's no big games coming out. And Nintendo, or any company, is losing out in between the month of January to March because there's no competition. And so I just don't get it. I'm really, like, excited for E3, if E3 happens. And I don't think it's going to happen. Which is something I want to talk about, because if E3 does get canceled, will we still get a Nintendo Direct? I'm going to say yes, and I think Nintendo has an advantage over all the companies because they don't need to be on the show floor.
And it sounds like Sony is planning to not be there again this year, whether or not there's a show. So maybe they'll have some digital presentation positioned as well. But we all know that Nintendo has a long history of being successful with these Nintendo Direct specific to E3. And I mean, going back to some of your statements earlier, do you think Nintendo's just having a slow year, or do you think they're just kind of waiting for one of their biggest selling titles, Animal Crossing, to get out of the way before they start announcing more? Like, what do you think is going on at Nintendo and Nintendo of America right now that we really haven't gotten any major news? And I know a lot of fans are clamoring for it beyond a lot of Pokemon news, but that's...
I mean, if you're looking over 3 years, there's been a ton of first-party games that I think are really good. I mean, you could argue, you know, for fighting fans, you also had ARMS. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of good stuff, but it's slowed down as of late. I mean, you could argue that stuff like Astral Chain, that was produced by Nintendo. I mean, you know, Platinum's not making that unless Nintendo's putting the bucks behind it, I think. Yeah, there's been games... There's been a decent number of third-party games over 3 years. It has been a slow period. It's been a really slow start to the year. Slower than I thought it would be. I mean, I honestly can't believe we haven't had a Nintendo Direct this year yet. That's kind of surprising to me. Usually get one kind of... I mean, we had Animal Crossing, but that was it. Like, that just doesn't do the trick for me. That doesn't mean that there's nothing to play, because the problem that I have with these days is there are actually too many games, and I'll never get around to playing them all. So in these slow times, I was telling you guys before the podcast, I hang out on the eShop and I look at the sales stuff and I start picking up games that I was always curious about and wanted to play, and I'm getting them cheap and I kind of play through those. I finished the Turing Test. Really glad I picked that one up. And if big games are coming out, I don't have time to do that. So I'm kind of there are times when I like it to be slower, because then there are so many good games that are on eShop that I never otherwise would have a chance to play. And those companies are the ones that are benefiting from Nintendo being a little dry in their release schedule.
And I agree with you, but I'm really honestly looking at the span of time and wondering if it's as slow a period as it feels like, or if it's just kind of a dry news spell. Because realistically, like, one of Nintendo's biggest sellers, Pokemon, came out late November, so not that long ago, and Animal Crossing comes out later this month. That's a 5-month span. That's not nothing, granted, but that's, I mean, in terms of the year 2020, we've gotten DLC for one of the biggest games of last year, and now we've got the long-awaited Animal Crossing. So is it that much slower, really, or is it just that they're not giving us any information for what else to expect this year?
I think it's slower. I think it's slower because look at year one. Like, we had Breath of the Wild in March. We had Splatoon in June. We had, you know, we had like a bunch of games that rolled out within a span of 2 to 3 months. And I think that the thing is, it's like, I think like from November to April when Animal Crossing comes out, like from Pokemon to Animal Crossing, that's like 5 months. And so here's the thing. We can always go back and play some of the games that maybe we haven't yet finished or haven't had a chance to play. Like, I can go and play Astral Chain. I'm looking at this from the perspective of someone who's doing a podcast, right? It's a selfish, like, reason. But at the same time, when I look at the N64 or the Super Nintendo, like the good old glory days of Nintendo, there was always a huge title coming out per month. So, like, if you look at some of the bigger characters and bigger titles and bigger IPs, there's a lot that they haven't touched yet, like Donkey Kong. F-Zero, and I know we're probably never gonna get an F-Zero game ever again, but, you know, Star Fox. Like, there's no Star Fox game. Like, there is a bunch of IPs and characters that they just are not touching. And the thing is, for me personally, as a fan of Nintendo, I love Mario and I love Zelda and Metroid's cool, but I kind of wish Nintendo would just do more with the other IPs and or introduce new IPs like Splatoon and ARMS. It might not always be a success, but I do like it when they try something new. And to be fair, ARMS sold like at least 1 million copies. Even 1-2-3 Switch, it was like huge. It sold like 1.5 million copies.
Yeah, in Japan. No, it did sell. Look, I mean, I think the N64 had droughts like this. I think we shouldn't kid ourselves. There were third parties that were developing for it, but it did have its droughts, especially on Nintendo's side. Like, when you look at it, they didn't produce that much stuff for it. But I don't know. It definitely seems like a slower period, though. 5 months is a long time, Tim. 5 months without a major game release? That is a long time. We're talking half a year without a major game from, and the DLC for Fire Emblem, which, you know, we can talk about more. I've started playing it. It's not like it's that big of a deal. I mean, it's nice to get, especially if you, but, you know, Fire Emblem was 200 hours. I put 200 hours into that game anyway. So, I mean, it's fine. It's nice to get. It wasn't really a necessary thing. And I don't think it actually adds all that much to the game, to tell you the truth. It's just a nice little bonus thing that I have now, a little bonus story that doesn't really even connect to the main game in any way.
You know, I kind of feel like any video game company like Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, they should have one big game come out, at least one every season. Winter, spring, autumn, and summer. I almost forgot my seasons. Like just 4 a year. And then everything else could be third party or smaller titles. But I think I especially think a company like Nintendo, given their history, the library, the number of IPs they have and characters that they can choose to work with, they should be able to come up with 4 big games per year. I think that's reasonable, and I think it's a perfect strategy.
Well, and I think they do. March is spring, technically, so, you know, and winter would have been Pokemon back in November. The problem is that they did it the beginning of winter, and, you know, I don't know. It seems like a little too long, but in between, like, they could have timed Animal Crossing maybe to hit in February, and it might have seemed like a better fit. Like, there wasn't as much of a drought. But we'll get 4 games from Nintendo this year. I'm sure about that. We get 4 games from Nintendo every year. whether or not third parties step up, I mean, it's mostly ports and stuff. And it's not like there's nothing that's been coming out, because you do get, you know, like ports of the Metro Redux has come out and stuff like that. You know, there are big games that people may not have played that are coming out for the Switch now, being ported over. And there's stuff to do. There's plenty of stuff to do. Like I say, there's tons of indies that you can go on. There are not just indies. There's just a lot of, again, ports of older games that I never got around to playing that I finally am now. And I enjoy that, because you can get a lot of these things pretty cheap. And it allows me to sort of just go through lots of different things, get a lot of different experiences, and not have to worry about sinking 200 hours into something.
So here's my question, and maybe I'm looking at this from like a marketing perspective, because I've been working in marketing for a few years, and also because of the podcast. But the thing is, since Pokemon, and granted, and I don't know if you guys agree, but I think Pokemon's a really tricky franchise, because it's super popular. But I think there's a lot of hardcore Nintendo fans like myself who don't care about Pokemon. We just don't. Like, we get it. We know it's a success, and it's huge, and it's popular. But there's just so many Nintendo fans that don't care about Pokemon. So to me, the Pokemon release doesn't really solve my issue, because then I'm not looking at 5 months. I'm looking at, like, what, 7-8 months since I've had, like, a brand new, big, huge title get released for Nintendo Switch. But I still kind of feel like, if you're rolling out a game, like I said, at the early start of the year, in springtime, in summer, and then, of course, like towards November when it's Thanksgiving in the United States, I think that does more for your company in terms of building the hype, getting people to want to buy a console, just always being in the spotlight, having websites write about your product and your game, and just like you're just constantly in the spotlight. And I don't think Nintendo's been in, I mean, look, there's a reason why people have been on Twitter for the past like 305 days or whatever it is, like complaining that we haven't received a Nintendo Direct yet, because everyone's starving for some big news or a big new game.
And this was traditionally a time of year where they'd release some B material like Kirby's or even Yoshi's. And they haven't done that this year, and it's kind of it is something that would have been nice.
Not to contradict you too much, but usually the first big release of the year, sometimes one year was it last year, maybe the year before, it was Yoshi. But you are always getting something in March. The difference is that there traditionally has also been a placeholder in January, something else to kind of tide us over. Last year, for example, was a port of Super Mario Bros. U got ported as deluxe, which I don't think any of us played, but Smash had also come out later in the year in December, so there was less urgency for a new title anyway. Whereas for people that don't like Pokemon, the last release was Luigi's Mansion at the very end of October. So I'm really wondering, did something get pushed back? Was something not ready and is just missing from what would traditionally be the first spot of the year, you know, a lesser release, sure, but just to tide us over until the first big title in March? Because, I mean, they've kept this rhythm up since 2017 of a game. It seems like there's a game every 2 months to every 3 months.
Yeah, if not, I think we had closer together. Donkey Kong's port was in February, I think, something like that. So Tropical Freeze. So, if nothing else, though, I feel like Nintendo could have at least done more box boy type games. Just come up with some smaller games. You know, everything doesn't have to be huge, but keep yourself out there. I do agree with Rick. Like, it's not good for the Switch to go this long without a major release from the company that makes it, because it doesn't keep people talking about it. Like, I feel like they needed to do something to get people talking. And Animal Crossing, for as much as it'll probably sell, it's not a game that gets people talking about the Switch. They just needed to have anything come out, anything else in the 3 months. It'd be nice if they just developed some B games, you know, or smaller games that could fill those gaps. But like I say, I haven't been super sad about it or anything, because I've had other games to play.
I still think Nintendo's at a disadvantage, because when you look at Sony and Microsoft, like, first of all, they have an easier time getting third-party new releases, like the AAA titles, on the system. So maybe Sony won't release a first-party title in the first 4 months of the year, but they can have like a Ubisoft Assassin's Creed type game, or Watch Dogs, or whatever, right? Cyberpunk 2077, for example, Resident Evil 3 or 2. So the thing is, they're at a disadvantage with the competition in terms of like having big, huge third-party titles cover the gaps. But also, when you look at the big, you know, Nintendo IPs, Nintendo's an interesting company in where there are hardcore Nintendo fans that will play everything and anything that Nintendo makes. It could be Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Mario, Zelda, Punch-Out, Super Smash, you name it, right? But as we all know, not everyone likes a fighting game. So as good as Super Smash is, not everyone's going to want to buy a fighting game.
I don't play it.
Exactly. Not everybody likes Pokemon. Not everybody likes a game like Animal Crossing. It's a very specific audience. Now, Mario and Zelda and Metroid, titles like that, just about anybody is willing to try the game, buy it, and most likely they will like it. But Nintendo has this thing where they have specific games and specific IPs that has a very specific target audience, and it's not as big as you think it is.
I mean, sales numbers say Pokemon does better than Zelda, Animal Crossing does better than Zelda. So that would tell me that those are wider audiences, frankly, than any Zelda,
yeah,
Zelda games.
I didn't want to correct you because I got where he was coming from, but those absolutely have wider audiences and more people.
I get what you're saying, but the thing is, I know a lot of people that play Pokemon, and that's all they play. They just play Pokemon. So they're not playing the Zelda, they're not playing the Smash, they're not playing the Metroid, they're just playing Pokemon. So, okay, so they're selling a lot of Pokemon games. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, for you know, if that's one side of the spectrum, that's half of the audience or more than half of the audience. What about the rest of the audience? Like, are you going to feed them something that's not Pokemon because they don't care about Pokemon?
Yeah, and they will. I mean, Nintendo will, obviously. We're going to get some more great games, you know, for the Switch from Nintendo franchises. And I'm sure they'll come up. I'm sure they'll have surprises this year or something like that. You know, we're still waiting on certain games. I just wish that they found a way to time things better. I think, like Tim, I think something got pushed back. It just seems kind of weird.
It has to, because, like, we're complaining right now, and, like, I don't want to sound entitled, and I don't want to sound greedy, because I honestly think Nintendo has had the best cadence of release of anyone in ages. Like, their sense of rhythm for the past 3 years has been so on point. I've never felt a dry spell on my Switch, and I personally don't still, because I'm legitimately still playing Pokemon, but again, very hardcore Pokemon fan. And so, like, sure, you can't always appease everyone, but I legitimately think that something was supposed to be, I would wager the very end of January, January 28th, to something like that. There was supposed to be something, and it just got pushed. I don't know what it was. So that I'm thinking, because they have been hush hush about Bayonetta, and they keep reassuring people that it's in development, it's going smooth, and I think it's just not going as smooth as it could be. I don't know.
But we did read the story about one of the developers leaving the project, which could have maybe derailed the rollout date, because if you have to replace someone who's a core member of your team, it's going to slow down the process of finishing the game. But also, Animal Crossing got delayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I personally think Nintendo is going to have a lot of surprises and announcements for E3. Are we expecting E3 to happen for at least Nintendo, based on the fact that if they do cancel the event because of the coronavirus, that at least we're going to have a digital presentation?
They'll absolutely do a digital presentation regardless. I have no doubt in my mind that they prep a lot for it. A lot of directs are actually kind of almost equal in weight these days, but they do put a little bit of extra effort with the treehouse and some big surprises on that specific direct and for those 3 days. So I wouldn't be surprised if all of that occurs. Maybe they just host that treehouse from Nintendo of America, and like no harm done, really.
And I wouldn't be surprised if and I know flying's a thing, right? You know, but who knows what it'll be like in June or whatever, but I wouldn't be surprised if they have journalists maybe fly out to play games, give them previews or whatever, or they fly out to some of these bigger publications to give them E3 style previews so that they can get their hands on coverage and still get the word out about all these things.
Yeah, don't forget that in the digital age, they can always set up a demo for the journalists and critics so they can play a specific game with a code, and the demo would exist on the internet for maybe like 24 hours and it would just disappear. But there's ways for them to get people to actually play games, and with the actual direct, they can not only promote the product, but get through a message about what the game is about and what to expect. I'm not worried about Nintendo. I do feel sorry for a lot of indie games. The fact that like South by Southwest, for example, was completely shut down about a week before, not just the video game and not just the independent video game developers, but also like the filmmakers and so on and so forth that are trying to promote a product and had like a world premiere or some kind of like big reveal. And now they don't know exactly where to do it. It's clearly hurting the entire industry. And I know that not too long ago I applied for a job, which I didn't get, but that's not the point. And the whole entire job revolved around this marketing strategy that was leading specifically up to GDC, because they were relying on GDC, the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco, to get funding for their game. And because GDC got canceled, that means they can't get funding for the game this year, which means that basically they just had to like pull the plug on the project.
Yeah, it's going to have an effect. It's going to hurt those indie developers the most because they can't get people to, you know, they're going to have a harder time getting people to do hands-on. A lot of E3 is just spent wandering around. Yeah, you make some appointments and stuff like that for whoever shows up. But now they're going to have to go out and actually do the legwork instead of people coming to them, which is going to make it harder. Even if they do digital stuff, it's, you know, it's harder to wrangle reviewers, I think, or game journalists. To get them to play your game, even if you have kind of a demo that takes place over a certain amount of time. Like, it's one thing when you're actually out at E3 and you cram a bunch of things in all in this one big trip. It's another thing when you're at home and somebody's coming to you, say, you know, asking you to play their game. Nah, maybe you don't take the time to do it because you got other things to do. So it's going to make it tougher on them for sure. It's going to hurt those indies. You know, and I'm sure some of the big companies will be okay with without doing the, you know, the expenditure that can come along with E3. Like Capcom is probably going to be fine. They're going to get enough press coverage anyway for their major releases. So it's not going to be a big deal for games like them or developers like them. But smaller ones, yeah, for sure. Especially the Indiecade people, like the really small ones.
So you know what's crazy is leading up to PAX, like about a month before PAX East, I started getting emails from indie game developers. So at first it was like about 2 to 3 to 4 emails per day. A week later, it was 10 emails per day. A week later, I was getting 45 emails per day. A week later, I was getting like 90 emails per day. And then when PAX started, people started emailing me for the first time. I'm like, guys, like, you don't understand how oversaturated the market is. You do not understand how many indie games are going to be presented at PAX. You don't email someone at the last minute trying to book an appointment. The point is that there's so many indie games being made. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Nobody, I don't think IGN has enough staff and resources to cover all of those games.
Now, to be fair, most of these games, sorry, developers, are not very great. I mean, I've played a lot of indie games over the last couple of years, you know, just for gotten codes and everything like that, and doing it for review. It's few and far between ones that I actually thought were actually worthy of you know, recommending to people to go out and buy. So there's a lot of, I wouldn't call them shovelware. I think that a lot of these indie developers are giving it earnest goes, and I've tried to play ones where I thought that they were really trying to do something. But because sort of the ease of development, you know, has made it so that almost anybody can try to make a game, it's getting harder and harder for people to find the good stuff. And that's what E3 used to be. That's what E3 is good for. When you walk around down some of these indie section, especially, you can make quick judgments about whether or not something catches your eye and whether or not you might want to spend some time playing it. You can make those judgments a lot better when you're seeing it than when you just see something on the eShop, obviously. But the vast majority. I mean, even games, I've been playing some games that were fairly well reviewed and I'm not impressed. So it's getting harder and harder, I think, to tell the good ones, the really good ones, from the bad ones. There is a sea, but you hope that if they are really good, that maybe they weren't just first-time developers either. Not that a first-time developer can't make something great, but you hope that they probably have built up connections over the years where maybe they can get their game some press.
So the thing is, I was talking to a few indie game developers here in Montreal, and here's the thing. What they tell me is that they say, we know we're going to make this game. We know it's not going to make any money. We know not many people are going to play it, but the reason why we're going to make the game is because, A, we're getting funding from, say, the government or whoever, so it's not coming out of their pocket. So they're making the game, they can add it to their resume, And then they can hopefully go apply for a bigger company like Ubisoft. So it's really something for them to put on their resume. Like, yes, the game might get released and it might be on the Nintendo Switch eShop, but they're not really expecting to make money off of it. It's more like something that they put on the resume. I'm not saying this applies for all indie game developers. I'm just saying that there's some indie game developers that will go out and make a game that they know won't necessarily be a hit because it's like a Kirby clone, or it's another Metroidvania style like game, or it's a knockoff of the original Super Mario Brothers game and it looks like it was made in 1985 only just with terrible graphics. But they do it because they just want to put it under a resume. It's really, really weird.
No, it makes sense, because if you apply for a game or a job position as a developer, often they will require that you have been participated in a game that shipped. And that means if you make your own indie game like that, you can say, I have shipped a game. And that way, at least you'll be considered for the position. If you haven't done that, doesn't matter how talented you are, you might not even get past the resume process, the application process. So it does make a lot of sense. You want to have that on your resume that you've shipped a game or two.
Yeah. Man, how's that for an opening segment, you guys? But we're going to move on now, I think, because I don't know where we can take that without us just spiraling down the depression drain. And we're not here to make games, guys. We're here to play them and tell people how to make them better. That's our job, right? Mm-hmm. The lawkeepers. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do an enormous basketball draft with Nintendo characters. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N-Express. We're at our main event, a draft pick of Nintendo characters. Who would be the best on a basketball team? Rick set the rules for this, so let me run through them really quick. We're going to establish an order for our drafts. We're going to pick a certain amount of players. I think we landed on 5 players each. The big catch being that we can have one character from each franchise each.
It's 6 players.
6 players. I'm already
gotta have a bench guy.
You're right. So that number is, again, 6 players each, but the catch being we can only have one character from each franchise. So, for example, I could pick Kirby, but then I could not pick Meta Knight as my next pick. However, Rick and Patrick would still then be free to pick, I don't know, whoever they want from Kirby. You guys want DDD? Go for it. You're allowed to. I could not, however. So I think those were all of the rules that we set. 6 characters, 1 franchise, and now we just have to establish an order. So who's feeling lucky? You guys want to roll for it?
I think we have to.
All right, let me see if I can find my dice. Yep, easy. Okay. Who's rolling first?
I'll go first.
All right. Patrick, rolling for you now. And Patrick, you got a 3.
Oh, that kind of sucks. All right. Well, middle of the road. Okay.
All right. Rick, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'm going to get a 6.
All right. Rolling for you.
It's a 6.
It's a 2. It's a 2.
Ha-ha!
All right, there's still a chance, you guys. Here we go. I'm rolling. I got a 2.
Oh, so, interesting. All right,
so Patrick is going first. or I guess whatever position he wants. I would assume first, Rick.
Yeah.
You rolling for you again now? And Rick got the 6. I don't have high hopes now, and I got a 5. Okay. All right, I'll go last, I guess.
Ooh, this is tough. It's tough going first because there's so many good ones to choose, and I have to decide what position I'm going to fill.
You know what rule I totally forgot that we have to mention?
What's that?
At the end of our drafts, or maybe at the beginning, I'll let Rick decide, it was his rule, we have to name our team.
I'm going to wait and see what my team actually is before I name my team. All right, with the first selection in the 2020 Nintendo Basketball Draft, I choose Luigi.
What?
I'm going with the jumper. He's going to be the dunker. Luigi from Super Mario 2, who has the high jump.
All right. And you explained your choice. I think a lot of people out there are so happy that the younger brother's getting some attention here.
Yeah. He's got the extra leap. He's going over everybody.
Yeah. Harder to control, though.
Wow, he's a wild man. There's no question about that. But Air Luigi is what we're going to nickname him.
I would buy some Air Luigi's day one. That'd be great. Rick, what about you?
Wow, this is so tough. There's so many characters I want to choose. So I'm going to start by picking my point guard, which is the position I've always played in real life when playing basketball. Typically the leader of the team, the guy who's the best ball handler and the best passer. And it's really tough because there's so many people I want to choose, but I'm going to choose Diddy Kong. Because Diddy Kong, I think he would be great at passing. He's got the speed. He's got the agility. He can jump. I can see him doing some wicked dunks, some wicked alley-oop passes. So I'm going to go with Diddy Kong as my point guard.
All right, an interesting choice, but clearly the wrong choice, and I'm going to prove you both wrong here because the only obvious answer and the one character I'm so glad you left me is Samus. How could you not pick Samus pick number one? Doesn't even matter what position she's got. She's got crazy hops. Some may even say triple hops. She's got a grapple to dunk with. She just grapple that ball and slam it in. Or she's got mad shots. She's shooting all day. Samus is the best choice.
Yeah, but what position would you have her play? Like, for me, like I was starting with my point guard position, and I wouldn't pick her. Like, I revolved my whole team around my point guard.
For a point, no, I wouldn't put her point guard, but I would imagine she would be in any offensive position. I think she would do well in.
Interesting choice. I'm not certain that I agree with your logic on that one, but
what? What did you get about grapple, hops, and shots?
I'm not seeing it.
You're assuming that this fantasy basketball league has no rules, that these people can actually, or these characters can actually use their special abilities and weapons. Who's to say she can use the grapple hook?
Wait, so you're saying she's got to be zero suit Samus?
I don't think you can walk on the basketball court with your machine gun or your like your vacuum cleaner to zap away the competition. Like, sorry, Luigi, you're not walking into the onto the court with your vacuum cleaner.
That's why I went with the jump for Luigi. That is a natural talent right there. That's pure physical ability.
All right. Next.
And for my second pick, I'm actually glad you guys didn't pick this guy in your first round. And Rick, for a second, I thought you were going to. I'm going to go with a Shaquille O'Neal type, and I'm picking Donkey Kong.
I knew someone was going to pick him so fast.
It's going to be Hack a Donkey. He's going to be muscling up there in the paint, and nobody's going to be able to stop him.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, he's going to be a nice compliment to Luigi's air. Luigi's going to be busting out, like, obviously he can jump and he can do, you know, the dunks. But I think I also see him as a perimeter player, too. He only makes his way to the basket.
So where would you position?
Donkey's going to be right there.
Where would you position Luigi? Would he be your small forward?
Yeah, probably somewhere. He'd be on the wing somewhere. He's a perimeter shooter, I see him mostly as.
Okay.
So I was going to pick Donkey Kong as my power forward, but I can't do that. I can no longer do that because Patrick picked Donkey Kong. So I'm just going to move over to my center position, and I'll think about my power forward later on. But so the center, also known as the five, usually plays near the baseline or close to the basket, plays the low post, usually rely on the center to get rebounds and block shots. So I am going to pick Machamp, my man from Pokemon. Dude, he's got four arms, so you know he can get lots of blocks. He can get lots of rebounds. He's a big guy, right? A big character.
Strong as hell, too.
Strong as hell, yeah. So he's got to be my center.
Uh-huh. That's a good choice. The four arms would definitely come in handy. He can be blocking and going for the steal all the same.
Simultaneously. You better bet he'd be, like, the master of rebounds, too, right?
I would hope so.
Dude's going to kill it on the boards. He's going to be like, he's going to be pulling up more boards than Keem Olajuwon.
Yeah. Oh, man. The hard part for me is it's one. I can only have one Pokemon on my team. So, like, what do I want to do? Right? Like, I've got a lot to choose from. Do I want defensive? Do I want offensive? It's a hard choice. I think I'll save my Pokemon pick for now. You know I'm going to sooner or later. But you know who I just want on my team just because I want them on my team for fun? And you know what matters maybe the most in basketball? It's having hot hands. You got to be hot, right? I'm sorry to just beat that guy. I'm going to pick Mario. It's his day.
Mario.
I'm going to grab
Mario. He's like the average player, even in every Mario sports game, he's considered average.
he's all around, right?
Yeah, he's all around, yeah.
Patrick, he's the battery. He's going to be the battery of my team, get everybody fired up.
Okay. And
you know what? Screw Mario. I changed my mind. I'm picking Yoshi because he's better than Mario. And he can throw them eggs like mad. Yoshi's the better choice. He's got better hops anyway. So I'm going to let go of my hot hands reference. That's all I was going for. That's all I wanted. But no, I'm going to pick Yoshi instead. The throwing the egg seems too valuable.
So you're going to be that kid on the playground where you pick one of the kids and you're like, no, I don't want him. I changed my mind.
Yeah, just thinking about it. You picked Luigi for similar reasoning, but he's got better hops than Mario. Mario's better all around. I just wanted to make a fireball joke. But if I'm, man, push come to shove between, because I know someone else is going to grab Yoshi. Everyone loves Yoshi. I think I want Yoshi.
Tim doesn't have a whole lot of faith in his team yet.
Well, you guys are like, no power-ups. And I'm like, okay, so Samus can't grapple? I had one strategy, you guys.
To cheat.
It's not cheating. It's her suit. It's just there. I wasn't going to fire missiles. Just grapple, grapple dunk on everybody. I figured it's anything in Smash Bros. Ghosts, right? You tell me Link can't be out there in his sword? No shield? It's just Link? What good's that guy going to do?
Yeah, I don't. Link may not make a team. He's not exactly he can't jump, that's for sure. All right.
Yoshi can.
I do have a strategy. What I want to do is I want to create fear at the three-point line. I want shooters. I'm looking for shooters and then have my center go in there, Donkey go in there. So I'm looking for another perimeter guy. And I feel like of all the shooters out there, of all the tossers, Captain Olimar is the one who has had the most practice. And I feel like he can nail those threes all day long.
More than Yoshi? Yeah, right.
Yep, absolutely. So I'm going Captain Olimar because that guy does nothing but toss things. And he does it pretty accurately, too.
He's also like the size of it. Of like a penny, so
he is, that's true. But I'm gonna imagine that he's been grown up at least a little.
Smash Bros.
That's never been confirmed to be Earth. Those bugs do not look like Earth bugs. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going with Olimar. I want two shooters on the outside. I want the people to be their defense to be spread out, thus allowing Donkey to get in there. Or if they're gonna cover Donkey Kong, then fine. We'll just have a field day at the 3-point line. This is how I'm building my team.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to go with my bench pick next. And I'm going to choose Nightmare from the Kirby series, from Dreamland, because Nightmare is an incredibly dark and underrated villain, in my opinion. And the thing about him is that he can put everyone under his spell and under his power. So everyone is doomed so long as he's got a hold and control of you. And he's the holder of the Star Rod. So I figured that if he's on the bench, technically he's not on the court. So he can play mind games and he can actually control my opponents and get inside their head and make it difficult for them.
Grapple. Is this not how we're going to play?
Not when she's on the court. No, but the thing is, the grapple, like, it's visible, right? So it's clear, like, the referee is going to call, like, a technical. But the referee can't see what Nightmare is doing. Like, he can't see if Nightmare gets in the head of Samus, right? So I can get away with it. Strategy, Tim.
It's not a bad. I can actually see the reasoning behind that. It's mind games, Tim. It kind of goes with the bench player's mind games.
Oh, you want to play mind?
If they use the rod, I think that might be a little too much. But
you want to play mind games?
Yeah.
Who would be the best shooting guard in the entire world? Someone with telekinesis. I'm picking Mewtwo.
Wait a minute! Didn't you pick a Pokemon character?
Not yet. I held off.
Yeah, he did hit.
Try to score on someone that can just mentally stop that ball midair. Plus, he's got reflect. He's putting up invisible barriers. You don't even know they're there. Just right in front of the hoop. There's nothing you can do. Plus, he's strong. He can revitalize himself, just heal himself on the spot. You can't wear him out. You can't beat Mewtwo. Statistically, he's the king. Can't touch him. And then, on top of that, he can mega evolve. I can make him faster or more powerful. I got options upon options with Mewtwo. Best shooting guard, hands down, can't touch him. That's what I'm talking about, mind games, Rick. I'll pick a psychic Pokemon, beat down your Machamp.
Yeah, but then Rick's bench guy, Nightmare, is going to be playing mind games on your team.
You're going to be playing
mind games on his team.
He can try to break through the mental barriers of the king of all psychic Pokemon. He can try. He won't do it, but he can try.
All right, I'm going to stick to playing completely fair.
Nope.
And I want, in order to complement my team so far, what I've got, I need a floater of sorts, somebody that can kind of go in and out of places, you know. And who better to float than Kirby?
Ah.
Also because he can suck a basketball and take it away.
He's taking my strategies. That's my next pick. Kirby was legit my next pick.
Yeah, I'm going Kirby. I feel like he can move in and out. Plus, he can just fly up there and he can do a lot of... I feel like he'll get a lot of tap-ins of shots that are a little bit off. Especially Olimar, you know.
I was thinking point guard would also be really funny to just see people shooting and have Kirby floating up and sucking it in.
Yeah, so that's fourth for me. I still have to decide on a bench guy. But I know who my last pick is going to be to seal the deal. But Rick, you're up next.
So tough. So, so tough. There's so many characters I want to include on my team. I'm going to have to decide here. So I think I'm going to go with my small forward position. And I also do not... I should be making a list because I don't want to pick a character from a franchise that I've already sort of like chosen. So you've picked Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, technically I could not pick Donkey Kong regardless. I would have broken the rules.
You already have Diddy. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Rob as my small forward because...
The robot.
Yeah, he's a robot. I don't think he can miss a shot. So you know how they say Steph Curry's like a robot because he never misses a shot and he can hit a shot from like center court like five times in a row type thing? Mm-hmm. So Rob is going to be the Steph Curry of my team. He's going to be my three-point shooter. And he's also fast. But really, I'm going to have him stand on the perimeter, and I'm just going to rely on Rob to shoot a lot of three-point shots, and I think he's going to be my Steph Curry, so I think I'm all good. I think I just won this championship.
Nope. So far, I've filled three of my spots. I'm picturing small forwards, probably Yoshi, because he's got them hops and shots. Power forward, Samus, because she's using a grapple, you guys. and she's got Mad Hops. You can't touch her. Shooting guard, you're never going to get past Mewtwo. But even if you could, do you know who you can't shoot on? Do you know who you couldn't dunk on? Duck Hunt Dog.
What?
Hey, I dare you to play Duck Hunt, and I dare you to try to shoot on that guy. You can't. He just laughs.
Actually, you can. You can shoot him. You can shoot him in the game.
No, you can't. You can shoot him.
Yes.
No, you can't.
Yes, in the arcade version, I'm pretty sure in the NES version, you could shoot the dog.
You cannot. I'm looking this up right now. Can you shoot Duck Hunt Dog?
Oh, it's too late. You already picked him, though, Tim. I have a feeling, Tim, you're going to be first in the draft next year. You're going to win the draft lottery.
Oh, you could shoot him during the bonus round.
Exactly.
Oh, you're right. Oh, man, you guys are taking this so real, and I'm going for jokes over here.
What are you talking about?
You know, I'll get creative and save myself. He's on my bench then. He's laughing. He's laughing at you. Duck Hunt Dog, you can't touch him.
I hope he's got a good sense of humor after the season you guys are going to have. All right. I need to round things out for me. This isn't my bench player yet. My bench player will come last. But to round things out, I need a little bit of athleticism on my team, because right now I picked guys that, outside of Donkey Kong, maybe aren't the most athletic, even though they have, you know, athletic abilities. So I am going with Wii Fit Trainer for this one, because I feel like Wii Fit Trainer could cover a lot of the positions necessary in order to pull off.
Now he's playing games like me. Now Patrick gets it.
No, but it makes sense, though. I need that person who's in good shape who can run up and down the court for 48 minutes. All right. I never have to sub out Wii Fit Trainer. Like, they're going to be in there for the whole game, and they're going to be playing good. I'm going to count on them for defense, them and Donkey Kong, of course. But Donkey Kong takes a little bit of while. He takes a little bit of time to get down the court. So I need Wii Fit Trainer to kind of hang back and get down there and make sure that the rest of the guys have time to make it.
Okay, so can I choose a character who comes from a third-party game?
I think they're all Nintendo characters, right?
I thought we were going all Nintendo.
Okay, my question is, can I choose Bayonetta?
I don't think so, because I think that's technically... She's still a Platinum property, even though Nintendo owns the game.
She's second party, right? The two
games. Yeah, she's not second party, because Platinum doesn't work for Nintendo. They develop for anybody.
They're
straight third party. Nintendo published a couple of their games, but they own the rights to Bayonetta. And Sega. Them and Sega do, but...
Okay, so I can't pick Bayonetta. Okay, so for my power forward, and again, the reason why this is tough is because there's so many characters I want included in my team. Like, I really wish we could have just, like, chosen 12. But I need a power forward, and so you pick Wii Fit Trainer, which wouldn't really be a good power forward, but I was thinking about her. So I'm going to choose... I need some, like, toughness in my team, right? So I think I'm going to choose... Actually, you know what? Maybe I'm going to put the power forward... No, actually, you know what? I'm going to pick Little Mac. I'm going to pick Little Mac. Because Little Mac's already an athlete. He's a boxer. We know he's in shape. He can run. He can jump. He's clearly going to be good at sports. I'm 100% sure he's good at basketball. I think he grew up in, like, New Jersey and New York City. So I'm sure he's, like, has some experience playing basketball at one point in his life. He's also super cool. Great character to market my team with. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to marketing, you want people to tune in. You want people to see Zion Williamson play. You want people to see LeBron James play. Well, you're going to want people to see Little Mac play, because people will love him. So, yeah. And I think he's gonna mesh well with my team. So, Little Mac is my choice.
Where did you position him? Because I was thinking about picking him, too. But I was thinking point guard. I was just thinking, like, he's a boxer. Like, I feel like that's almost a natural fit for... You know, you gotta have endurance. You gotta get in there and fight. That's what I was thinking for him.
I put him as my power forward because I already have like Machamp as my center, right? So the thing is, yeah, because he's a boxer, he should be able to fight his way into the paint. But I think he's also athletic enough to also, you know, shoot from the 3-point line, for example. And I think he's fast. And so it's kind of like, I don't really want a power forward like, say, Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, he played center, but just as an example, right? Because he's too slow. I think he would be hard to guard, because you would have to guard him inside a paint, but you would have to guard him on the perimeter also, because you never know what this guy could do. He can go for a layup. He can go for a dunk. He could take a 3-point shot. You know, he can fight for a rebound. So, yeah.
Man, oh man, oh man. I'm trying to fill my center position, and I'm trying to decide who I want. And like, there are a lot of heavies in Nintendo that I could go with. but it's just a matter of like who you want on your team. And let's see, I've got Yoshi, got Samus, got Mewtwo. So I'm gonna float something by you guys. Just see if it's cool. Let me know if it's allowed. Do you consider Yoshi an independent character from his own games, like Nintendo does for Smash Bros?
I would say yes, because there's actually he is the star of many games. Like if you picked Waluigi, I would have to argue, well, Waluigi comes from the Mario series, right? He's not the star of his own game, I don't think.
Well, and if you look in Smash Bros, he's got the egg icon and not the mushroom, because he's considered from the Yoshi franchise, from the original Yoshi puzzle game, and then forward into the Yoshi titles. So if that's cool, in that case, you guys, you know who, even if things are not going his way, you know who always keeps calm and keeps coming back? Bowser. Bowser's my center. I think he can take Donkey Kong. I think he might, you know, Machamp's got the vicious attacks, but does he got a really sharp, pointy turtle shell? No way. And fire. So I think center, I'm going to put Bowser. Worst comes worst, transform into Giga Bowser, and I'm pretty sure that guy could dunk all day.
Of course, you know what the thing is about Bowser, Tim?
Is he loses every time?
He's a loser.
But you can't exactly. Beat down his, you can't beat down his spirit, Patrick.
You're welcome to him.
Hey, but you know who doesn't lose? Never failed a mission once, Samus.
Well, why did you pick Bowser over Bowser Jr.? That's like picking someone who's going to retire within like a year or two. Okay. You don't build a team on someone who's closing in on, who's past his prime and who could retire in like 2 years. Like if you started a new team today, like in Seattle, would you draft LeBron over Zion? No, because you're LeBron's going to retire in 2 years.
You want me to pick baby Mario? And like Bowser Jr. is a kid. Bowser is experienced. Bowser is the King Koopa. I'm sticking with Bowser. You can't. You just want Bowser for yourself. I'm not falling for it.
That would be funny if you talked him out of it. All right. I only have one person left to pick. It's my bench person. But I'm so confident in my team, I'm wondering if I should just waste my bench person. I was considering Sheik as my bench. A little bit of quickness, athleticism, can dart all over the place. You know, can sub in for pretty much any one of the other people when I need some speed, when I go up against a team that has some speed. The other person I was considering was just a cheerleader, because my team is already so good already, and that was going to be Isabel from Animal Crossing.
Oh, man. The cockiness.
You know what? Since you guys all have mind game people, I'm going with Isabel. Isabel is going to bring the force of positivity to my team, and it's going to break through your Mewtwo and your Nightmare and whatever. And Isabel is gonna cheer on my guys, and they're gonna win the championship because of that.
And then convince my dog to move into your town.
she's gonna convince all the good players to come to my team. Warriors, baby.
Now, so are you saying I only have one more pick left?
That's correct.
So who the hell did I pick on my team so far? I got Nightmare. I got Little Mac. You got
Diddy Kong.
You got Machamp.
I got Machamp. Machamp.
And who else did you have as a shooter?
Yeah, Rob the robot.
Oh, Rob.
Okay, yeah. So can I pick Kefka or Final Fantasy's off the limit here?
Rob. Final Fantasy's off limits, yes.
Okay, and if I pick Mario, can I just specifically pick Invincible Mario, like the Mario with the star? That's so he's always got the star.
That's power-ups, man.
Yeah, that's a power-up. I would say no, otherwise Samus' suit would be available.
Samus' suit is available. I don't know okay. What you guys are talking about.
Okay, so check this out. So I got Machamp. So I got my guy for my rebounds and my blocks, right? So I got Little Mac as my power forward because he can power his way into the paint, but he's also fast enough to run around the court, set up plays, make some passes.
He's Little Mac powering into the paint. I just picture him just punching someone in the face as hard as he can.
Yeah, Little Mac gets called for the most technicals.
Maybe I got Diddy Kong. Diddy Kong's got the best handles in the game. He makes Kyrie's dribbles look like kids' work. You know, I got Rob. I've already mentioned Rob can't miss a 3-point shot, guys. He can't miss a 3-point shot. Like, it's over. The game's over. But I don't, you know, I got Nightmare on the bench just as sort of, you know, more for moral support. I know you guys think I'm going to use him to cheat, but really it's moral support. So my secret weapon, the last guy I'm going to pick is Chain Chomp. Because try getting the ball across half court when Chain Chomp is at half court and he's going to eat up the ball every time you dribble to the net. Rick,
I don't mean to burst your bubble, but all you got to do is wait. He chomps and then you go.
Oh, man. That's an interesting choice. Yeah, you'd have to consider where to position Chain Chomp, because he could obviously completely guard the basket. But he would be he'd be no help on offense, and he'd be a man short. Now, if you positioned him at the middle of the court, that's tough to say. Would you want him at the middle of the court or right?
If you put Chain Chomp right at the top of the paint, right where you would take like a free throw, like he can guard the whole entire paint. So like Tim's saying, all you have to do is wait. But in a game of basketball that's so fast paced, you don't have time to wait around. So that means I'm going to force your team to pass to the outsides. You're really going to be relying on a lot of 3-point shots, or at least a lot of shots from a little further away from the basket. You can get into the basket for sure, but then you got to run into like Machamp. Good luck. Telling you guys, I didn't want to go with the typical, I'm going to pick Luigi, Mario, and whatever else that people would normally pick.
I like pick Duck Hunt Dog. Come at me.
Yeah. It's an interesting pick.
Oh, man. I can't wait to hear what the name of Tim's team is. The Crash Brothers? Or it's Crash Brothers, right?
I've got Duck Hunt Dog on the side, so that means I've still got to fill my point guard. But I went for Mewtwo for the shooting guard, which I stand by. That's the best choice you could have. Mewtwo is a literal legend. He's the best in the game. But man, like, because I was thinking Charizard would make an excellent point guard for so many reasons. I think I'm gonna go with, I've got a couple of choices. I want a little bit of Zelda representation. I'm less concerned about how good my team is at this point, and more just want to get Zelda in there. I think I'm going to go with Shadow Link for point guard.
Shadow Link?
Shadow Link specifically. Why? Because you can try everything you want. Dude's going to come right back at you with the same thing. So you try the trickiest alley-oop you can. He's right there with you, blocking you all day long.
You can draft LeBron James, or you can draft LeBron James's shadow. Like, what? Like, that is your last pick?
You want me to be, like, the boring guy that's like Ganon. He's a big, tall boar. Try to get past the big, tall boar. Is that the logical pick, Rick? Yeah. But you know what's more fun than that? A shadow. I like the mimicry idea. I think in my mind, it's cool. It makes sense. You can try anything. He's going to mirror it right back into your face.
How is a shadow going to stop you from scoring a basket?
You're going to have to come at him with a freaking hammer to get past him. That's how it worked back in the day. How do you guys beat Shadow Link? You got to be crafty.
Actually, no, because Adventure of Link, Zelda 2, which a lot of people consider is the hardest game ever made, you just have to stand at the corner. You just stand at the corner and smash your button over and over.
Rick, his biggest weakness, going low in the corner, doesn't work in basketball. I thought this through. I knew you were going to come up with Zelda 2. That does not work in basketball. If you said low and in the corner in soccer, sure, you could get past him. He'd be a bad goalkeeper in soccer. Doesn't work in basketball. You got to go high, my friend, high and center. So he's got perfect defense. You can't get past him. Plus, Mewtwo's still there. Mewtwo's going to cover for the both of them.
What happens if we're playing outdoors? This is street ball, and it's a bright, sunny day. What happens to the shadow?
It's bright and sunny where you fight Shadow Link in that giant white room.
So does the shadow disappear? Does the shadow have a shadow?
He's goddamn magic. He can't disappear. Plus, if it's brighter, wouldn't he be stronger? Bad. You're thinking about it backwards. If it was darker, he would be less visible.
All right, we're at the hour mark, so I think it's time we name our teams.
All right.
Pepe? This is the tough part. This is the tough part. I mean, there's lots of... the Trash Brothers, Tim's team.
Super Trash Brothers, thank you. I'd
rather name Tim's team. I'm going to call mine Codename Team. Which is lame, but also obscure at the same time. Because not that many people play Codename Steam, I'm assuming.
All right, Rick, what about you?
Oh, it's easy. My first pick was Diddy Kong. He's my franchise player, so the name of my team is the King of Swings. Of course, based on the Game Boy Advance game. It's a perfect name.
Whew. I feel like I dodged a major bullet. With absolutely zero representation from the franchise, my name is Donkey Kong Country.
Like, for real? For real.
I still think Super Trash Brothers makes more sense.
I'm like legit upset right now. Like you know what you're trying to do right now? You're like the Los Angeles Clippers. You're playing in my building, in my city. Like, I'm the Lakers, and you're like the Donkey Kong. What? Like, what?
I'm the one with Donkey Kong. I'm the one that should be upset here. I'm going to allow this though, because everybody's going to know that Tim's name. It's a team of posers.
Goddamn, Mewtwo is a poser.
Poser.
It doesn't matter if you've got the best shots in the game. I got the best blocks. You can't get past him.
You've got the duck hunt dog.
He's on the side laughing at you whole game through. He's going to get in your head so fast. You're going to tilt. The game's going to go in my favor.
Oh, man. Not with Isabelle on my team, but they'll never get inside my head.
If you think that little Matt can get into the paint, no problem. Think about Yoshi and his egg. Roll on through, pop out of it, shoots, he scores.
Yoshi's not getting those rebounds.
Those rebounds, that tongue comes out, boom, in his mouth. Gross? Yeah. Effective? Absolutely. Poops it out, shoots it.
Okay, well, guys, I got some bad news for you. I just hired Reggie as my coach. And my assistant coach. My assistant coach is Doug Bowser, because I can't actually get Bowser.
Well, my coach is Miyamoto. He's going to give me that thumbs up all day long. The down one, and then it turns up.
That's actually pretty funny.
All
I'm doing is picturing him drawing X's nose with a Wiimote.
Wait, Rick, in this scenario we just painted ourselves as what, the owners and not the coaches?
Oh, right. You're right. Okay, so that therefore my coach would actually be King K. Rool.
I haven't picked anybody from the Zelda franchise, and so I feel like the King of Lions is going to be my coach. The King of Red Lions.
Yeah. I respect.
Oh, yeah? Well, my assistant coach is Gygus, so good luck.
Cranky Kong's my assistant coach. Good luck dealing with...
My manager is Tom Nook.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good pick. That is a good pick.
Well, you're going to be the richest team in the league. I'll leave you that.
Is he indebting all of my players? Absolutely. But he's a hell of a manager.
They have to pay for their own uniforms, I'm sure.
Hey, he gives them to you right away. You just got to pay him back.
Oh, man.
Oh, I should have named my team Animal Cross Court.
Oh. That would have been a good one. You're going to have to change that. You're going to have to put it out there for the citizens of your town.
Someone inevitably buys us because we're the best team in the league.
Okay, so you know what I was going to do coming into the show? I was thinking about this last week. I was going to just choose dogs, and I was going to call my team Nintendo Dogs. But the problem is, a lot of the dogs in the games, they don't actually have names. So it's like, how would that work? I guess I can pick the character. Like, I could pick the dog from Breath of the Wild or whatever. And I was going to pick the dog from Mega Man.
Yeah, which you wouldn't be able to do, of course, because that's Capcom. But you could pick a dog from Super Mario Odyssey, who wears a hat and runs around and digs stuff up. And, of course, the actual Nintendogs. You guys never played Rusty on the 3DS, but he was a dog. Yeah.
You can trash talk all you want. You got a tiny monkey on your team. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the only one with a legend on the team.
Look, Diddy Kong for me is like James Harden. But instead of being like the Houston Rockets and playing small ball, I actually have size on my team. So I still got Harden, you know, which would be Diddy Kong. But then I got like the Shaq type of player.
Little Mac? You've got size with Little Mac?
Machamp? Hello, Machamp?
Pretty sure Machamp's not as tall as Bowser.
The thing is, Tim, you don't want too many big people. If your whole entire team is big, what they do is it's just a lot of clutter around the paint. So your guy, like your, in my case, Diddy Kong, like my star player, he's not going to be able to drive to the net because not only is he going to have the defense.
I don't mean to burst your bubble. I've got perfect balance. I got small Yoshi, medium Samus, large Bowser. Perfect. You guys were.
Well, one thing's for sure, you have the worst team. I think we can all agree you have the worst team.
No way. Yeah, I think so. I think that just happened.
No way. Let's talk. You want to talk one-on-one matchups? You want to put Diddy Kong versus Yoshi in the same position? I think it's Yoshi, man.
I don't think that it's. I don't see. I see that as being a fairly even matchup with Diddy Kong having the advantage because Yoshi has such short arms. Can't shoot.
He shoots with his mouth. Have you ever played Yoshi?
He's. You know what? I have, and it's really hard to shoot that egg accurately.
Nah.
You would have a better time if you put Birdo on your team at this point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You guys are crazy. No joke, all joking aside, you can trash on my team all you want. I put Mewtwo as shooting guard, and I think that's the best call you could make.
I don't know if I should call you the LA Clippers or if I should just refer you to as the equivalent of the New York Knicks, because clearly you're like the James Dolan right now. You're like the worst owner of a basketball team, making all the wrong decisions, and you won't accept criticism. And you're going to ruin your team. You're the New York Knicks. You're going to be kicking Spike Lee. Spike Lee is going to show up at your game. You're going to kick him out. You're going to kick out your fans. People are going to be chanting, sell the team. And you're going to ignore them.
Let's leave this up to the internet. Internet, if you think my team is the best, you need to show up. All right? How can they get a hold of us, Rick? How would you like them to tell you that my team is stronger than anyone else's? Where you want them to send the messages?
So the thing is, I think the best thing to do is to leave a comment on the website for the specific post linked to this podcast episode. So you could just go to GoombaStomp.com, look for the NXpress podcast. There's always a drop-down menu on the navigation bar. Because you can leave a comment on Twitter, but I just kind of feel like it would be better if it's on the website, because then everyone can get in on the conversation.
I'm just going to say, Patrick picked Luigi and I picked Samus. So just think about that. Just think about that matchup
second. They know who's going to win. They know.
Bowser in center. I'll give you Donkey Kong Machamp. I think they're all on par right there. But Samus up front? No way. There's no beating her.
I do think Samus is a great pick.
Yeah. Goddamn amazing pick. I think that was why I started with her. I think that was my whole team was centered around Samus.
I feel like without that suit.
Nope. Player in Smash Bros. She is fast, she is furious, and she's still got hops.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm thinking about the salary cap too, right? If I were to draft someone like Mario or Samus or Link, like the salary would be through the roof. And then year when there's like great free agents or just a draft, I wouldn't be able to like fill up my roster because I couldn't afford them.
Who's an amazing player that you get for dirt cheap? Shadow Link, always in the shadow of Link. Dirt cheap. Great player.
I don't know that Shadow Link's going to bring... I mean, it's an interesting choice because of his mimicry, but he's not... First of all, he's not going to score anything.
He's not there to score anything. He's
clearly.
He's defense. Now,
the problem is that if you go up to shoot, that means he goes up to shoot, but he doesn't have a ball. That doesn't mean he's blocking you. It means he's going up to shoot at the same time you're going up to shoot, but he doesn't have a ball, so your ball will hit nothing. If he had a ball in his hand and he shot at the same time, yes, they would hit each other. But he doesn't go up to block when you go to shoot, Tim. He's mimicking you. So it really, that ball will have a free path to the basket.
Again, doesn't matter because Mewtwo's right there, levitating everywhere. Literally levitating. You can't get past Mewtwo in the first place. Doesn't even matter. Mewtwo could play every role on my team. I could just send Mewtwo in, let the other guy sit on the bench with Duck Hunt Dog, who was the only bad pick I had. All right. All of this to say that basketball is the worst sport. So tune in next time when we do draft picks for, you think I'm kidding. I'm not. When we do draft picks for better sports that are more fun. Looking forward to football. I'm looking forward to soccer. Baseball will be fun. Patrick, our teams are terrible. Maybe we can make good teams out of Nintendo characters.
What are you talking about? My team won 100 games last year. Your team's terrible.
Your team is terrible.
The Twins have the fourth best odds to win the World Series this year, according to ESPN.
We'll see. Patrick, they're going to choke.
Oh, I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying they're not a terrible team. Okay, but baseball will be fun, yes.
And then we'll see where we go. If we want to do hockey, we could do that. We want to get real crazy. We could go for volleyball. I don't know. We could do a lot. Could be a lot of fun. Not tennis, though. Nintendo covered that a little too well, probably. Doesn't make sense as a team sport. Anyway, do you guys want to wrap there? Sweet. Well, thank you both for being here this week. Rick, where can we find you online?
You can find me over at GoombaStomp.com. I do a lot of writing. Like us on Facebook. You can follow the Twitter account, which is GoombaStompMag, M-A-G at the end of the word GoombaStomp. And you can listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, like you name it, everywhere but YouTube. I pulled it from YouTube. It was just too much work. Sorry about that, guys. That's it. You can find all the links at GoombaStomp.com.
And Patrick Murphy, what about you?
You can find me on GoombaStomp.com, on Twitter at Sword Cinema, and definitely if you're into movies, check out Rick and my podcast, Sword of Cinema Podcast. We've been doing a lot of discussion of a lot of different kinds of movies from all across movie history, but also, you know, recent stuff as well as older stuff, but just a wide, wide variety. Positive discussions, guys. Positive movie talk.
Yeah. Something totally different than what we do here, but good stuff. And educational. I'm Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N. Send me some tweets. Let me know what you thought of my team. It's the best. You don't need to send any tweets. I know it. They're afraid of me. So, yeah. Plus, I don't want to talk about basketball too much anyway because I don't have a team. So, I don't know.
Neither do I.
Yeah, basketball's not kind of our states currently. Still have hope for the future. We'll see. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of NExpress. Tune in next time where we will hopefully be doing another draft pick because it's so much fun and I can't wait to do it. The trash talk is the most fun. We'll talk to you then.